This is the order of battle!
This is an Operation Recall concept creator interview. Chris Scott is the concept creator for Wave 2, Figure 1, Los Castigadores. He and I sat down to chat, and wow, what an incredibly fun conversation. We talked over Messenger for a couple weeks before we sat down to record, and after 3 hours, I had to go, but we could have kept going. I hope you enjoy this portion of our conversation, and I look forward to seeing Chris at toy shows and continuing to grow in our friendship. Thanks for sitting down with me, Chris. I know you guys will enjoy this.
I got a little desk right here, so I like kind of surrounding myself with Joes, and I'm actually redoing a room right now, just be like mostly like my vintage stuff. Getting back into Joes a few years back and really getting into them hardcore. And then I started, of course, going down that path. And I had a few decently priced Night Force vehicles. The only one I still have, though, because I ended up selling them, because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make space. I don't need all these vehicles. I'm trying to focus mostly on the, you know, vintage stuff. I love the Night Force vehicles, but they're just so expensive. And I'm like, I can sell them, get something else, you know, that I've been wanting. But like, I just have the, what is it, Nightshade, the Shark. And somebody had hooked me up a few years ago, and it had the box and everything in really nice shape. And he's like, give me $50. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, and all the stickers were nice. I was like, that's cool with me, you know, because I was like, I'm keeping that. That's mine.
Yeah, all day long on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but I do like Night Force. Speaking of, I got a little Falcon right here hanging out with on my desk, which was funny, you know, being a kid, Falcon was always my favorite. Just probably, I think it's that green beret, you know, tiger stripe. Awesome. You know, I was born in 84. Falcon, you know, coming out of 87, I know I didn't get them right off the pegs. I don't know where I got mine. And I remember destroying them over the years and having to find a new one. And I got so excited at a flea market finding another one when I'm probably like, you know, I don't know, 8, 9. But I had to have had this Night Force Falcon because I had Sneak Peek. Where did he go? Because like Sneak Peek literally lived through my whole childhood. I had that, you know, neon green pants Sneak Peek forever, and I don't know what happened to that Falcon.
When did you get back into collecting G.I. Joe then?
It was funny because, I had my little dark period, you know, like how you talk about high school mostly. You know, I got it because so being born in 84, you know, I didn't really collect. I played back then, of course. You know,
I don't call mine my childhood collection a collection either because I beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, of course. No thumbs, no crotches. A lot of the times, you know, these guys got beat up, and I wasn't even rough with my toys. They just, you know, time and just playing with them, you know?
Right.
And, you know, taking them all apart and putting new ones together.
Your friends playing with them, taking them to school.
Yeah.
Playing with them out in the, you know, building dirt forts and just forgetting. Yeah, even if you're not rough.
Yeah, it just happens. And so, you know, high school hits and, well, not even high school. I remember before that because, you know, the line ended in 94 and I was like, well, crap, you know, because I'm born in 84, but December of 84. So I was like 9 when it ended.
You're prime ready.
Uh-huh. For Joe's. Like, and so I'm like, and I remember going to like Eckerd or different like drug stores because they would still sometimes have Joe's on the pegs, mostly like Star Brigade and, you know, stuff like that. But I would just, you know, eat it up with the Eco Warrior stuff I loved, you know, all that. But I was so excited in 97 when Toys R Us did like the Stars and Stripes Forever box set or any of that stuff. Cause I'm like, oh, I got Stalker finally. I got Snake Eyes, you know, version one, you know, I got Scarlet. I got, you know, that's not rock and roll. That's General Hawkshead, you know, or that's Roadblock's torso, but I didn't care. That kind of rejuvenated stuff. Cause I was collecting Sergeant Savage. I was collecting, you know, or playing with Sergeant Savage, playing with G.I. Joe Extreme, even though like, especially G.I. Joe Extreme looks stupid, but I just was like, it's G.I. Joe. I'm so excited. Sergeant Savage though, I love, and I still do. And I got all into that stuff. But then, of course, that's when high school starts hitting and I fell out for a while. And I really didn't do anything toys for a good amount of time. You know, like I loved, you know, I still collected comic books. You know, I went to like film school, so I was a big movie buff. And then what got me back into toys was I got real big into The Walking Dead because I loved the comic. And then, of course, I like the show. And I found the McFarlane Rick Grimes like bloody variant of the first wave of the comic toys at Toys R Us. And that's what kind of started the ball rolling again with messing around with some of these toys and tweaking around with all this stuff. And I remember buying G.I. Joe's though again, because my son, you know, my son was born in 07, and a few years in, I was like really starting to get into Joe's though, like not for me though, for him. And so I was like, oh, and Pursuit of Cobra had just come out when I started really like, what are these? These are really freaking cool. I'm like, I want them, but I wasn't even thinking about collecting at the time. Like it didn't even, it was, I didn't even fathom it, you know? I bought a bunch of those for him. I went freaking ham and ape shit and bought like a whole set of just 25th, you know, carded figures on eBay. I think I paid like $300. And it was like, I literally laid it out and they were all, you know, mint on card on the bed. And it was like, that's how many there were. There was just so many like comic packs, everything. And I got it for him for Christmas. And then I also went to a Little Joe show here in Florida. It's a few hours away. It was by my wife's mom's house. And it was just like a His Tank meetup, you know? And I went over there and one of the dudes sold me a flag for like, I don't know, $300. And it was yellowed a little bit, but not bad. And I had a lot of stuff with it, but I didn't know anything about it back then. And I was like, I want to get this for my son because I never had it. You know, my son's only like 5.
That's when I gave Alexander a flag. He was 5.
See, that's awesome. We're both ridiculous, but I love it. And so my wife's just shaking her head, you know, and I think I overwhelmed him. You know, I gave him too much Joe product and too much stuff. And he's just like liking it, but he's just like, what am I supposed to do with all this? You know? He just never really took to it. It was always a Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow for him. That's what he loved. And I was like, that's cool. You know, and then he took to Transformers. He took to, you know, Legos. And that's what he loved.
Was he a Rescue Bots kid?
No. So he played more with like, he didn't. So he was already really just like whatever was at like Target. You know, I don't know what, you know, generation any of that stuff was. He never really got to like the kiddie Transformers. Any of the kiddie toys he really played with were like the Imaginex, you know, like with the Batmans and the Supermans. Those were pretty cool. But when he didn't really get into that stuff, I don't know, like I remember wanting to take him to a Joe show, and JoeCon was in Orlando. It had to be like, what, 2010, 2011 or something. It was something around there. And I remember being like, oh, you know, maybe we'll go to the Joe show. That'll be fun. And then something happened and we couldn't. And I was like, I'll just go next year, not realizing that it went all over the place. And then I was like, what have I done? You know, like whatever. But it still wasn't there yet. And then when it came back to Orlando in 2017, you know, with that was the Battle Force set. That was my first JoeCon. And I went with my buddy Ben. And then we brought my son the next day. And I just loved it. And I was like, my buddy Ben never had a like dark period. He has all his original Joes he has his flag from when he was a kid.
I already don't like him.
Right. Like, and this is, imagine how crazy this is. His dad was in the army. And so he lived in like the Philippines and stuff, you know, because they were stationed over there. So his like uncles would like send this stuff to him overseas and he still has it.
Ugh.
And so me and him walking around, and I regretted selling my Joe comics because I'd sold a lot of my comics back. And, you know, in the day. And so I was like, well, I want to start getting back into this. And I got to meet, you know, Larry Hama that day and Kirk Bozigian. And so it was a really cool experience. And I bought a flag there because I had sold that other flag that I forgot to say that. But I sold the other flag that my son had because he didn't play with it anymore. And I didn't have space for this thing. And so a few years passed and I had JoeCon and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start buying this stuff. And I started buying parts from everybody and I bought like, you know, some stuff and it needed a lot, you know? But I was so excited. I was like, you know what? I got a lot of Joes cause my son don't play with them. They're going to go into my collection now. And if he wants to mess around with them, they're still in, you know, with my stuff. And so that was fun. You know, I have an actual pretty funny story real quick about the flag. When I was like, I'm going to organize all this stuff. You know, it is when I'm really getting back into it. And I'm in my, like, the playroom for the kids. And I'm going through all the Joes with the file cards and just trying to figure out what, you know, I have, what we, you know, what weapons, because you know how kids are, of course. We were the same, you know, they just go all over the place. And now you got to try to put everybody back together. And so I'm going through it. My wife's in there helping me going through some other stuff. And I'm in a shoebox and I'm going through file cards. And then I just yell out, I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, are you okay? And I pull out a Fantail railing.
Oh, shit.
That's in a Ziploc bag in there. And I'm like, holy shit, I needed this piece. I never sold it with my old flag, and I forgot the guy had given me one when I originally sold that flag. And I had put it away knowing he probably said, don't break this. It's very rare or something. I don't remember. This is years ago. I put it away. And so I was like, I've got a fantail railing. I didn't have to spend, you know, $250
for. The same as you got your first flag for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an incredible find or refind.
Oh, for sure. When you don't know you have it still. So it's the best. I was so excited. And then, you know, fast forward a little bit. And, you know, it took me three flags to complete my flag now at this point. But I've sold my second one, you know, so I have a complete flag and I'm trying to complete my second one just to, you know, maybe sell it a show or something.
Customize it
or do something with it. Yeah, you know,
I mean, make it an Operation Recall bad guy flag.
That would be pretty cool. I already have ideas for Robo Skull with my Robo Skull is going to be that skull looks very similar to a certain mask. So, you know, it's getting customized.
And so now you have you're going to populate a whole boat with your own figure.
Oh, God, that would be something I would do. I'm already an army builder.
See, you got the flag. It's painted black. You've got two Robo Skulls or more on it. Whole squad of Los Cascadores.
Just everywhere. Just destroying everything. It would be pretty fun. I can't wait to have all. It's still surreal.
You got Monoferro standing on the deck pointing while a bunch of Cascadores board the Robo Skulls. It's perfect.
Oh, that would be a pretty amazing diorama. I do like to build dioramas as well when I can. You know, I've been slacking lately, but I got to get back to it.
Sorry for your space and wallet. This is...
Oh, it's always bad. It's always... Once that backer kit launches, I'm like, I'll have to get some more. You know, because right now I just did the double. I did two all-ins because I did the one with all the pre-production stuff for mine. I just... He's like, it comes with two all-ins. And I'm like, well, just do it as one. Knocks the price down a little bit on that one. And then I did another all-in under another account so I could do... I wanted the book and the Blu-ray. So I just did it that way. You know, I figured that made sense.
You know, you have to.
You have to.
If you went and commissioned Ron just for that amount of artwork, you'd spend more.
Oh, 100%. You know, like to design a new character too and all that, you know, and it, you know, it's a funny story about that too. So a few months ago, have you ever been down to MegaCon down here in Orlando?
I have not. I've heard good things.
It's fun.
I just haven't made it down. I love to travel. It's just, I already have a very full schedule. I haven't prioritized that show yet, but it sounds like I need to.
It's a cool show. It's a cool show. It's busy. I've met some really cool, you know, celebrities, a lot of, like, I actually got to meet like Michael J. Fox one year, which was pretty amazing. You know, I mean, how many chances you get that? This year, you know, Mark Pennington was there and, you know, I met him last year at the show and I bought this amazing, it's like 11x17 Alley Viper inked sketch.
Nice.
And it has a Conquest flying in on the, you know, on, you know, it's buildings around it. And this Conquest coming in, like shooting down. And it's just a really cool Alley Viper sketch. And so I love his artwork. This year I talked to him and I was like, hey, I would love for you to draw me as a G.I. Joe, like a full on engineered drawing kind of thing. Like make me look like a little O-ring, you know, my paintball character in that style. And he's like, oh, he's like, I love paintball. He's like, I used to play back in the 80s. And we chatted for a while about that. And that was so much fun because he's so full of life and just talking to him about stuff. I love talking to him. It was funny because then Operation Recall was asking for submissions and he hadn't drawn it yet because he needed some stuff at home and we didn't keep in contact right away. I was going to be like, hey, you still going to be able to work on this or any of that? Because I had his, you know, his number. And once I submitted to Operation Recall, it's like, wait, him and, you know, Ron Rudat are working on that now. Like, let's just wait and see. You know, I'm not going to be like, hey, did you do that, you know, that commission for me? Because I'm like, oh, maybe I'll get picked. You know, I don't know. It could happen, you know, type thing. And I remember sending everything in. And then when I saw the stuff at Joe Fest, I was just like, holy crap. Like, Mark doesn't have to do it anymore now. Like, I actually, now that Ron is the one designing mine, like, I want to see what Mark Pennington would do as well. And so maybe next time I see him at a convention, I'll be like, hey, I want to see ideation sketch of what you would have done with him. Just so then I can put it up with that. And I think that would be a lot of fun too, you know?
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Right. Just,
I met Mark at Joe Fest last year. He was set up right beside Ron. I had my sketchbook with me. Would you mind doing a drawing in my sketchbook? I said, inks, full color, full body, full scene. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, just draw some.
You do what you want to do and you tell me the price when it's done. I don't, I'm not here to argue. He was like, listen, he was like, don't ask me to draw my favorite Joe. You know them better than I know. No worries, my dude. You worked on a bunch. So when I think about like what you've worked on, like I can name off 5 or 6 characters that you worked on. You know, I don't know which ones were fun for you to work on, which ones you're tired of drawing. He was like, you know what? Outback. And I was like, cool. And his Outback is amazing, right?
I love Outback, yeah.
It was just ink, just pencils and inks. Incredible. And I already have Ron in that same book.
Oh, that's cool.
But Mark and I ended up spending a lot of time talking about grandkids and toys because he was like, I see your son knows a lot about G.I. Joe and is running around with toys. And also, like, you don't have a leash on this kid. And so we just started talking. Like, we spent a whole weekend just talking about his grandkid and my son and parenting and then talking about art and comics.
That's so cool.
And I was like, I saw you at this restaurant. I mean, it's fried food. But if you saw me, why didn't you come by and have a beer? And I was like, damn it.
Well, it's, I know there's that balance, right? You know, like you don't want to bother these guys. And I get it too. And you're like, and even if you like genuinely connect with somebody, you still like, you know what? They've been talking to people all day or they've been, I don't want to overwhelm them.
That's right. You're off hours, man. You clocked out for the night. When we found out Mark was going to do Alexander's, Alexander was genuinely disappointed because he was excited that Ron was going to do it. And then I showed him the sketch I have of Mark's and like pointed out which characters Mark has done. And he was like, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. We're 100% in. And I was like,
that's awesome.
It's just perspective, right? Like, you know, really both is. Character, you know, both people, you know what they've done. Ron treats him like a grandkid, you know, like even does like the granddad jokes on him.
That's cool.
And also, like, we can go back to Ron later. Like, you can go back to Mark and be like,
exactly.
Would you take a crack at this?
What would you have done? Yeah.
And then seeing Mark's ideations, his smile is touching both ears.
That's cool. I love it.
You know, he's just like, oh my God, you know, because he's 10. So he's very much like, I drew it this way. This is how it needs to look. So right from the beginning, I was changing things in my little crappy sketch. And I was like, no. Like everything is subject to change.
It 100% is. And even as adults, it's sometimes hard to grasp that, you know, like.
You personally have physically made and wear this, right? This wasn't, you know, what you did at 10 on a weekend. Like you've built and worn this out. You've done video of this out.
Oh, yeah.
I can see from your perspective where that's got to be really hard to let it go into somebody else's hands. But also, it's Ron Rudat.
Exactly. And it's funny, you know, how you bring that up, because in the very beginning, you know, how I imagined, you know, the character, and I put a few different names on there too, you know, and the funny thing, El Castigador is a nickname, you know, because I'm a huge Punisher fan. And that's where I made my loadout and my gear. Because when I first started playing paintball, you know, like paintball and G.I. Joe kind of always gone hand in hand with me. You know, I used to play back in high school and I loved war movies. I loved all that stuff. I don't know. A lot of guys take paintball pretty seriously. You can be good or aggressive as a paintball player, but you don't have to be. You can take and have fun with it. And that's what I always wanted to do. And being a Punisher fan, as you can see, I've got a lot of Punisher ink on me and I love it. You know, there's Frank Castle all over the place. And, you know, I've just always loved the character, but I wanted to make this kind of mine, you know, still. And so when I first started playing, it took a little while at first. I was like, you know what? And I didn't even go buy the Punisher or anything as like a call sign. I spray painted a skull on one of my plate carriers and I did it brown. It was over like multicam, you know, cause I still wanted to be, you know, blend in and practical. And I loved it. And then I started tweaking around and cause I've always been good with my hands. I like to create. And I built my first skull out of Kydex. I don't know if you're familiar, if you're a shooter or if you've ever. So Kydex is a material they use for holsters.
Okay.
And it's a hard, not plastic, but it's like kind of like that. And you heat it and it forms to whatever you heat it to. But it's made usually for holsters or knife sheaths or any of that stuff. And it's really cool stuff. And so I was like, let me use that for that. And so my first skull I'd made, I really enjoyed it. Like I did white first because I was like, I'm going classic Punisher. I've been wearing black multicam for years now. I was like, I'm going to do white just because whatever. I painted my mask with like a kind of skull, but still my own. And then I was like, yeah, that stands out. That's pretty dumb. And so I changed it to green. I was like, okay, OD green. And I made another one and I really liked it. And then I made my next mask is where I took that. What I did is I took a paintball mask and I took an airsoft like skull mask that you can't wear with paintball because it's just not safety rated. So I cut off the skull part, epoxied it onto the paintball mask, sculpted around it, painted it, you know, made everything. So it was still the same paintball mask. It was still safe, but it had a skull on it now. And I made that I loved the teeth. I loved the actual skull face with, you know, the green. I drew the kind of a Punisher skull. I mean, I, you know, people like to say the Punisher skull, but like, they're all just skulls. You know what I mean? They're all just very different variations, even how the comic book artists drew them over the years. So I kind of took it and did it my own way. Cause the only thing that is kind of tied to actual Punisher skull is my chest piece. And it's because Mitch Gerards, I don't know if you're ever familiar with, he's done a lot of Batman, really good artist. He drew the Punisher back in 2014. And I loved it because he made it almost look like a piece of armor. It wasn't just some vest with a skull spray painted on, which I like, but this piece looked really cool. And I was like, I like that. It was 2019 and I was going to California for a game. And I was like, I'm making a new skull. And my new skull, I did the same style shape, but I thought I had the grand idea of shooting it legitimately with real bullets. Because I was like, well, it's going to have battle damage. I want it to look as real cool as possible, and took it over. I have a good friend who has a range with a berm and everything. I took a 1911, you know, shot it with 45. I had cut into it with a Dremel, like 3 claw marks. I was kind of Wolverine-esque, you know, I had done. And I put it up there and I took a shotgun. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put some like birdshot into it. It'll just put some texture, some boom, and it just exploded.
Oh,
and I was like, oh shit. Like, and we had to find it. I destroyed it. Can I fix it? And I look at it in my garage and I stapled it all back together. I put a few new pieces in it and it gave it so much more character that way. And I loved it. And so, you know, like some of the pictures you've probably seen, like, I don't know that I've sent you, that game was like one of the best games I ever played because it was muddy as hell. Like I fell on my ass so many times. It was just nasty. There's like freaking sand pits and just, it's just gross, but it was so amazing because it was raining. And so some of the shots just look so cool with that, you know, loadout. So I just loved it. And, you know, I've pretty much just kept it like that mostly for years now. I've ran that loadout in Sweden. I've played in Sweden with that. I've played all over the country with it. And so, yeah, I'm very married to my design just because it's part of me. You know, it's something I got to create. You know, the way they ideation on paper is what I did with physical pieces, you know, to make what and make it as practical as possible. Because, again, you know, I don't want cool factor to get in the way of, I walk into a room and, oh, where's my mag? Oh, I can't find it. Oh, it has to be quick. You know, if you have to change, you know, or if somebody runs up on you and you're changing mags, you have to be fast. Same thing. But getting back to the changes, it took a little bit at first because, and I kind of look like a dummy. I felt like, you know, everybody said I was fine, whatever, during the Joe Fest panel. But I was like, oh, that's me. You know, like I was just kind of in awe for a little bit. And I forgot to be like, no, that's my character design. You know, I had to like separate myself from it. I've gotten there now, and which is fine, and I'm perfectly fine. And even the troop builder aspect of it, I was like, but that's one guy. You know, and it was funny. It's just, I don't know, take yourself out of that and let the masters work, because I love Ron Rudat's work. I love Mark Pennington. I love Kirk Brazilian. I love all those guys. I can't wait to see what they do with it. I am totally fine with what they change. You know, of course, I would love to see it kind of stay similar just because I'm happy and I like how he looks. I think he looks badass that way, that character. But again, I trust what they're going to do. Anything they do, I'm excited.
And it's not just Ron, because like Kirk is going to add to your design. Yep. And he is going to pull off of it. If Ron doesn't like where you put a mag and he puts it somewhere else, and then Kirk doesn't like where that, I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. And I'm okay with that.
And then Bill gets to sculpt it. And if the sculpt doesn't work, he's going to change something.
And I'm cool 100% with that. I'm all for the whole troop builder now, the Los Castigadores. It was funny because Carson had messaged me. He's like, hey, what's the plural? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't speak much Spanish. And he was laughing. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I was like, it's a nickname. You know, two of my buddies, Pablo and Smoke, had started calling me that because that was their Punisher in, you know, their country. And so it was just really funny. And I just loved the sound of it. I was like, that sounds kind of, you know, like ominous, because how I looked at this character, and this is what I probably should have talked about in the Joe Fest panel, instead of pointing at the screen and be like, oh, it's me. Like how I wrote his like little dossier. I didn't do a lot. Like I didn't draw a lot or design a lot when I sent in the submission. And it was because I wanted to see what the masters would do. You know, I want to see these guys really tackle it. So I didn't want to draw too much. I love seeing all the actual really like amazing comic book style art that a lot of the, you know, submitters did. But I was like, well, I don't want to go too much because I want to be like, here, I got pictures. I've got a little, I did a little drawing, you know, you guys saw it on the, you know, on the thing. I actually had added a few like accessories. I was like, what kind of accessories I'm going to have? I got my gun, which, you know, is a little different. I love like how I have, I'm hoping that's one that maybe kind of sticks around just because my rifle is different with the Hera Arms kit, which is a, you know, real steel kit on it, because it makes the rifle look different. I put that on there, but like accessories, I was like, what's he going to have? I don't know. He's a bad guy. Or I put bad guy or good guy. I didn't put it like actual, I mean, he looks like a bad guy, but I wanted him to be this. In the dossier part, I put him as like a boogeyman-esque character. I was looking at like almost like, you know how in John Wick, they explain Baba Yaga and they're all scared and but they don't really know much about him. Like I wanted this character to just be this scary, shows up, messes stuff up. And now we have a team of that, which is pretty cool. And when I was coming up with accessories, I was like, well, he's kind of like a Grim Reaper looking dude. So I put like a skife in there with him, like this freaking like sickle looking thing. And I was like, that attached to the backpack, and then a chainsaw. And I was like, that's ridiculous. But it wasn't in any of the pictures. And I was laughing. I was like, I don't think it's going to go that route, but I was laughing. I was like, it'd be pretty funny just to have, you know, some lost Cassiodoras with freaking chainsaws, you know.
If they don't design that, I'm sure there's someone who's put out a 3¾ chainsaw.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, 100%. And, you know, and really that chainsaw is a callback to, you know, my paintball team is called Army of Darkness MagFit Paintball. And I'm a huge, again, being a movie nerd. And I wanted a team name that wasn't too serious. You know, I didn't want to be this SEALed Team 7, you know, like, I'm like, guys, we're just paintballers. Like, calm down. You know, we don't need this. We're not a bunch of badasses. Sure, it hurts. It's, you know, and we go through a lot with paintball. It's a great time, but like, it's got to be a little goofy. It's got to be a little tongue in cheek. So Army of Darkness, I love Evil Dead. I love all those horror movies. And so I wanted to kind of incorporate that ridiculousness. So when you hear Army of Darkness, you're like, oh, that's kind of scary. No, it's not really. It's, you know, goofy Bruce Campbell, you know, beautiful masterpiece. And so I wanted to kind of incorporate that chainsaw that way. So
that's amazing. So you've brought up the Joe Fest panel a couple times.
Yeah.
And so we hadn't met at this point. And we also didn't realize that we had mutual friends at this point.
Yes. Yes, we did.
I've kind of already gone through this a few times. Like Alexander showed up early. He's right there in the front row next to John and Bobby, and he's blowing me up to show up on time. I show up late. When he brings up the back of the card, I zero in and I see shh. And so did you see?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like kind of on.
You had the jitters right from the jump. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When he brought A up. You know, I'm standing there trying to record and Ben is messing with me. And after that, David was sitting right in front of me. So he talks to me and like everybody else is talking to me about Alexander's thing. So I missed a lot of what came after Alexander.
Yeah, I know that feeling. And that's the same. Yep.
Like, I don't know if you were like full on crying or just teared up, but like, I know I was like, I was welled up.
I was more in shock.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
You guys both were in front of Alexander, and seeing both of you guys go up there, listening to you guys talk and knowing he's coming, I was so on edge, powered down 7 5-hour energies and snorted Coke, like on edge.
Just freaking out, probably like sweating, just shaking. No, I know the feeling. As soon as like I saw that little thumbnail, and especially being the way they did it with the silhouette, you know, just right back to being a kid, you know, like, who's that? You know, who's coming out? Who's coming next? You know, David went before me and then I knew I was next just by seeing that little order. And I was just like I knew Carson didn't know I was in there because I didn't get to talk to Carson yet that weekend. Like every time I'd go over to the booth, he wasn't there because he was always so like chicken with his head cut off. It looked like he was just busy all weekend. And, you know, I didn't even know he had a booth until like the last day. And I was like, oh, crap. So I just kind of like put my arms up, I remember, and being like, yep. And he's like, oh, is this yours? And I'm like, yeah. not being prepared for anything. And I totally understand what you're saying, because everybody afterwards, I'm like, pay attention to everybody else's like going all over the damn place in your mind, you know, like look at all these new figures because they're pretty awesome. But like, I'm just on cloud nine and I'm just zoned out. But then when A came up, even though he was just right after me, it was so cool to see him talk about his love for, you know, Joe, and just hearing him drop, you know, names like Ron Rudat and stuff 10-year-olds usually don't know anything about. And then to see Bobby come up with, you know, Clanker and Tank, and this is awesome. Like, this is a really cool experience.
David, and then you, and then Alexander, and then Bobby. It was like, bang, 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 bang. That was neat. And then talk to Raymond. He had been at Joe Fest, but he didn't show up at the panel.
I literally listened to your podcast this morning on it. And I was like, oh man, he was there. I wish he would have been in the room too.
Yeah.
I love it. I love seeing like how your family's been with everything, like promoting it, and just, it's been awesome. And I've seen that a lot with a lot of guys, and it's been great.
That was a lot of Erin, Alexander's mom. And so she wrote something, I edited it, she posted it. And then immediately I was like, oh, she's 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just really cool, you know, that we're all on this ride, you know, together. And, you know, I put you in there right there with, you know, Alexander, even though it's his concept.
I do not.
I do, because you've been doing this, doing the podcast, being, you know, all about it, talking to people about it. It's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm grateful that, you know, I already had a platform that I could use to help support.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that the podcast isn't brand new. Because he and I had never met. We just have a lot of, like you and me, we just have a lot of mutual friends. We've been at shows together. It's surprising that we haven't met.
I know, it is funny, especially, you know, knowing Don too. And Don was the one telling me about your podcast and stuff. And even Joel, just this year at Joe Fest. And me and Joel have met multiple times, but we just never, we always forget our names or whatever. And so this year was funny because there's a picture of me and him both wearing RoboSkull hats right in front of Ben. And he took a picture of us. And so I was laughing. When I went back, I was like, oh, that's Joel. Like, what the hell? How did I not realize that? And then we were at the swap meet one night. And I remember being drunk a little bit, you know, a little buzzed, and just looking at Joe's. And then Joel walks in, and we both had remembered our names at that point. So he's like, Chris, I'm like, Joel. And it's just stupid. But again, and actually, we have met once. I had forgotten.
Okay.
Until you brought up your robot shark love.
Yeah.
I think it was at Kentuckiana last year. You know how they had those little rooms for each like little spot?
Yeah.
And you, and I believe Joel, I think it might have been him, but I know you were there because you were talking about all of the, you know, V2 eel sharks you have. And I remember being like, oh, that's great. And maybe it wasn't Joel then. It was somebody else that was with you. But it was one of those like passing, we're looking through a booth or a box, and then we're talking for a few minutes and then that's it. It came back to me when I saw, we started talking about that. I'm like, wait a second. And I saw the eels. I think it was in some of your, you know, acrylic. And I was laughing. I was like, wait, I have met Jason before.
Yeah. If it was at Kentucky, like, I think Joel showed up, him and Kavanaugh, they drove in one year together. I go up to Kentuckiana with Todd Henderson and Ryan Smith a lot. But if it was like another, like, Wears All Black hardcore kid, it could have been Dana White.
I can't even remember. It's just gone.
I was curious if you knew Joel because you had mentioned like the Marauders evenings at Joe Fest. And I know like the first one they did, I went with Joel the very next year. I was like, I'm not doing it. And so he went by himself, you know, and like I met Don standing in line at JoeCon Chattanooga.
Okay. I was at that show too.
Right. And so like, that's when I met Don.
That's true.
And then Don reaches out and he was like, hey, what do you think about my buddy Chris? And I was like, I would love to. 100%. Yes.
I love it. Because, yeah, Don messaged me. This is a great podcast. You should check it out. He's interviewing. I'm like, yes, yes, I'm all for it. You know, I'll talk about Joe's or anything toy related or anything really. Just like at Joe Lanta, like when we have a beer, we probably won't stop talking. Like you said, when you know, if you talk to somebody who's a little quieter, you know, it works out sometimes. But when two people are talking, we're just going to be like yelling at each other the whole time.
Absolutely. It's like, why don't you ever sleep at shows? There's too many people to talk to.
It really is. There really is.
I don't know everybody, but as people have been sharing art, I've talked to 3 or 4 other people and I'll just keep reaching out to folks.
That's good. I'd love to hear everybody for sure.
You know, as dad, you know, 180 grand was the goal. But as soon as we hit 180, everyone is the goal.
Yeah, 100%. Same with me. I'm like, all right, 150. I felt pretty happy about that. I was like, oh, sweet. I'm like the first stretch goal. I think we'll be okay, especially with this name. I'm like, but I want everybody. Like, I wanted everything. Of course, you have that, oh, I want to get mine unlocked just because, you know, that dream come true. But, like, you want everybody. And I want all of, like you said, you know, doing a double all in. I've got two sets coming myself. You know, I'm going to keep one carded. I'm going to keep one to open because that's what I do with a lot of my stuff. But I want multiple great whites. You know, I want multiple unknown. You know, I'm excited for Lilith. You know, I'm excited for a lot of these characters. You know, seeing the Alpha Dog freaking ideation by Ron Rudet.
Oh, it's great.
It looks so cool. You know, like I love like the one with the torn sleeves, you know, and like, that's freaking cool. But all the characters I'm genuinely like excited about, you know, and seeing what the guys are going to do. Like seeing like even, you know, Mark's ideation on Clanker and Tank, you know, like just how he just drew everything. And I love that. That's the thing, you know, like designing, you need to kind of throw all the ideas on paper, you know, to kind of figure it out. And that's like you said, Kirk's going to go over that and put his spin on it and be like this, this, this. And I can't wait to see that, you know, for everybody. I want to see it all. I like to go to comic shows. I like to get sketches done or things like that. And I've always wanted like a cool comic cover with my loadout on, like my gear, my character. I thought that would be cool.
Oh my God.
And, but I always like, hey, can you draw me? It just feels weird, you know? So now I can be like, hey, there's this character, this G.I. Joe kind of character, you know, Operation Recall. I need you guys to draw this, you know? So it's funny. I have an out now, but.
I'm not asking you to draw my original character. It's a for real character. Yeah.
It's real. I swear, you know? And that's one thing that's like, and I bet you are excited and Alexander's excited and everybody with this stuff, with the comic book stuff too. Like if they do a comic book or if they do, you know, any other like promotional stuff, it'll just be cool. Like I would love to, you know, have a comic book drawn or written by anybody really, like, or really like even just Larry doing the dossiers is just going to be amazing.
His take on the little bit that you gave is going to be great.
I can't wait to see what he does with it.
I've talked to a few guys in your guys' group that, you know, went full bore, full development kit, mm-hmm. 8-page backstories, the whole nine. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I can do that for Alexander's characters. Or what he said to Bobby when they were talking. Like, he talked for 10 minutes about some backstory of him, you know.
Yeah.
Beating up bullies. That was all made up on the spot.
Oh, really? I thought that was something that was put in.
No. His whole write-up was just, you know, that he was a ninja and, like, he tied his character into Rotello.
I saw that. Yeah, and listening to him talk about that, I like that. They went to what, boot camp together, right? Is that what it, yeah.
That was his whole idea, because when we were designing these, he was like, well, should I make a Joe or Cobra? And I was like, neither. It's not G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, okay. And he didn't come up with much, but he came up with the seed. And I was like, that's perfect. And then I see people that came with a whole plant and I'm like, that's amazing. But all of that's getting redone.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why I literally have not even a paragraph, really, like of what I wrote. And that's why I kept it simple on the drawing. I wrote down like the main part. And there's nothing against the guys putting all their information in there and really crafting a story, because I love to craft a story. But
I think it's amazing.
I don't want to be tied to it either. I don't want to be like, you have that maybe epiphany moment or something like, oh, this is perfect. And you fall in love with what you write. And then, you know, somebody comes in and changes it. And then you're like, ugh, I don't want that. You know, like have to completely wash your hands of it pretty much at that point. You've turned in your idea and your goal is to do what you do with it and enjoy it. You know, like, and I want to just go along for the ride. And that's, you know, that's where I'm at.
To that very real point, Cadaver, Great White, and El Castigadore were all individuals that were turned into troopers.
Yep.
You know, I don't have the emotional tie, so I'm excited that these three are troopers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to army the hell out of all three of them.
I love that.
I don't know if Unknown was meant to be a trooper or an individual yet, because we haven't sat down and talked. I was excited. And, you know, you and I talked just as we were getting to know each other. You know, you were telling me like the whole concept and idea of how your paintball persona was built and how you turned it in. I'm over here just, I would make these guys, you know, room to room, urban fighters.
Yep.
With a cadaver tied to the unit.
I love it. I love hearing that.
I'm already coming up with my own storyline. I haven't seen what Larry's done yet. And he's completely disregarding whatever you did.
And that's okay.
I'm ready to go. Like, I see the character and like, when I look at what you did and I look at what Chad did or anybody else, I'm already seeing a different storyline because I haven't seen what Larry's done. I haven't seen what Mark's done or Ron's done.
Or what Kirk's going to add to it, like you said, too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm simply taking the seed that I was given through the lens of recall. Carson didn't give us the 100% of each. He gave us a snapshot of each.
Yep.
So a seed of a seed, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah, yeah.
I'm already writing stories in my head.
Well, that's beautiful. Because think about it. When you were a kid and you were playing with G.I. Joes, did you follow cartoon or comic book continuity? Like, did you exactly make it like what they told you it was? Because I know I sure as hell didn't.
The dossiers and the comic books were the starting point.
Yes.
That's how I got the personality and stories that happened to them before this mission.
Yeah.
So the comic books totally were canon, but it was like, that's shit that happened in the past.
It's all new now. It's, oh man, my Joes died so many times. Like, most times are fighting aliens, to tell you the truth. You know, I'm a huge Aliens fan with Xenomorphs and Predators coming after G.I. Joes. I get it. You know, like, I love it. I want people to make their story. You know, I want people to do what they do with it. And so that's why, again, going back to, you know, other people drawing, you know, the designs and stuff. I love seeing that. I love seeing what they would do with it because I've made my version of it. Let's see what else everybody does.
I sat down and I was trying to sketch some stuff out because you and I had talked about drawing and things like that. And that helmet that you wear in real life is beyond my ability to draw. So I'm like going more like motorcycle style.
That's okay. I would still love to see it.
And then seeing as everything starts bubbling up from these two creators, it's just, I'm really surprised at how many professional level artists are in this group. And I want to see more.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the bad things that of the creators, the designers starting to show what they've been working on is we're seeing less and less art from the 16.
True. We haven't been seeing as much.
People are slowing down as we're starting to see what the professionals are doing. And I was both wanted to see what Mark was doing with Alexander's character. And also I was like, he can wait to the last if people want to keep drawing him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would love to see like this community just keep pushing out fan art from the seed.
Same.
Embellish the shit out of it. You know, Chad has done a couple different embellishments. Gabriel's embellishment was wildly different than anything that Alexander would have conceived. My buddy Mark did two different drawings. You know, he gave him that nice gold leg, but then also did the one where gas is coming out.
I like that.
His name is Shh. So it's not just like he's silent, but that's the sound as he gasses people in the room. It just goes to work. And I was like, you kind of made him a villain with that. I'm kind of okay with that.
I really like that. That's what's fun about this stuff is, you know, it's bringing us back to our childhood of, well, what would happen with this or what would you do differently? You know, those conversations, and we still all have those conversations, but
oh, absolutely.
And we get to do that again. And it's pretty cool. Like, you know, I told you a little bit, because I can't say much, but pretty much the week before Joe Fest, I found out I'm doing paint masters and some art direction and design work with Bill, you know, from Fresh Monkey Fiction. I'm a customizer. Like, I customize toys. Like, I've been doing that for a few years now. And so now I get to do it at a professional level. Stuff's going to be factory produced. And so this has been the most fun for me too, is because I've been loving the Operation Recall and I would love to do some sketches and do some design, but I've been so busy here doing this, like all morning I've been painting. Getting to see the master's work and then also get to kind of do my stuff too, like designing, you know, like I got to sketch out some parts the other day or just little things, because I can't say anything right now. But, you know, once I can, I'd love to talk to you more about it. But like,
absolutely.
I'm having so much fun, you know, and that's really what it is.
It's mind blowing.
It is. It really is.
We're all sitting here in our late 30s, mid 40s, early 50s, and just living a dream that we all had as kids and no one ever thought could happen as an adult.
It totally is.
I don't know how much these guys want to work on this after these 16 are done.
Of course, it's a lot of work.
Carson said that they had a few in reserve. He's already changed a few things here and there. So I'm hoping to see more than just 16.
Yeah, I would love to see this go in a year or two, but maybe, you know, maybe he brings like the 90s team in or, you know, something of that nature, just because why not? You know, like, you know, these guys are all retired. It's a lot of work. And now I'm really understanding that more so now. And so to see what these guys, like the sketches, sure, you know, those take time and work. But like when, you know, Bill starts sculpting, that's going to take a lot of time and just everything. So I love, I'm psyched that we're in that first year. We get this crew, but I hope they continue it. But of course, you know, they're retired, you know, they don't probably want to work, you know, another 10 years or, you know, even 2-3, you know, you never know.
And you guys are really the canaries in the coal mine for them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally down for this idea. At the end of it, are you still down? And I hope the answer is yes. I would love to see Ron and Mark and Bill and everybody push out work and, you know, till the day they're ready to be done.
Of course.
They feel like they've exhausted their ideas.
Exactly. And being, you know, creative and creating things, it never feels like work. But maybe, you know, if you've done it your whole life, it's time to relax, you know, spend time with your wife, spend time doing the things. But I don't know. I don't know if it would be something I would want to stop doing. I'm always wanting to create, even if it's not in a full-time capacity, you know. So maybe that's how a lot of these guys are, you know, hearing them talk and how passionate they are about it. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're looking at Ron does plein air painting.
That's awesome.
Mark has worked in comics. I mean, these guys are not, they're not sitting on their thumbs.
No.
You know, and you weren't getting paid professionally and you built a whole damn piece of armor multiple times. All of us are creating at whatever level we can.
So I was going through some of my old stuff and, I, you know, hearing like Raymond talk about his great white drawing from when he was a kid, or Carson's, you know, when he was a kid, they weren't designed to be toys. But I was going through some of my art books recently and from when I was, you know, a kid. Being a big Aliens fan, like I said, I would design like different, like, because I love the Colonial Marines. Like, that's one of my favorite, like, with the pulse rifles, like my favorite movie gun and all that stuff. So I would design all this stuff. Like, I'd come up with new armor, new gear, and I have it all drawn out and all this ridiculous sounding guns and, you know, like making, because I'm like 40 millimeter. What's that? I don't know. All right, well, let's go 50 millimeter because it's bigger, you know, or stuff like that. And I found that stuff.
113 millimeter.
Right? Yeah. And I'm laughing and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And so, you know, I'm sketching on my iPad now and designing things. And I'm like, wow, this is just full circle right now. This is just, you know, amazing, you know, feeling. And so I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. I remember being 10, maybe not even, and telling my mom that these Kenner Aliens toys don't match the movie. They're great. But do you think we can contact somebody about them making actual Colonial Marine action figures? You know, I'm a kid. I don't know any better. And she's like, no, I don't think that'll happen. And so it's so funny. I laugh so hard at that. You know, now I'm getting to play around in that kind of play, you know, that sandbox. And like, I'm like, ah, it's happening. I could, you know, put my ideas on, you know, in plastic form now. And the same with, you know, the Operation Recall stuff and getting to have that. I just love Kickstarter. I love all of these options we have now and all the independent toy manufacturers. And it's beautiful to see, you know, how it's come.
This has been an Operation Recall Order of Battle.